we thought we'd look at Zeta Scale, the next big milestone beyond exascale in supercomputing performance.
These big systems are for big problems.
From Orion X in association with Inside HPC, this is the At HPC podcast. Join Shaheen Khan and Doug Black as they discuss supercomputing technologies and the applications, markets, and policies that shape them. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, Shaheen. It's Doug. Great to be with you again.
Great to be back. How are you, Doug? What's the topic today?
We thought we'd look at Zeta Scale, the next big milestone beyond exascale in supercomputing performance.
Yes. So I first have to remind everybody that Zeta Scale has two T's in there.
Oh, thank you.
If you do one T, then it's not quite Zeta Scale. It's a little bit less.
That's good to know. And the basis of what's kicking off our discussion is a great article by Patrick Kennedy in his Serve the Home online publication, in which he sat down with Roger Kadori, who is SVP and GM at Intel's Accelerated Computing Systems and Graphics Group. I guess they had quite a session at SC. Roger laid out Intel's Zeta Scale strategy that would be 1,000 times performance of today's systems by 2027 or 28. Pretty ambitious.
Very ambitious. I like it that they are talking like this, as we've talked on this podcast before. Of course, the counter argument is that the exaflop machine isn't there yet. So why are we talking about Zeta Scale? And also, when you look at the roadmap, what they're envisioning is faster than what we've seen historically, going through these 1,000x improvements.
In terms of timeline, yeah.
Timeline, right. Because they were talking about 2027 timeframe.
Right.
And given that exascale is right around now, if you count the Chinese systems and if you assume that that's actually there, that's still pretty short compared to what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, as I say, very ambitious. You know, it's part of, I think, maybe a new spirit being instilled by Pat Gelsinger, where they really want to seize back technology leadership. So this could really be a test of his vision.
I love that aspect of it. I love it that they are talking about futures and they are showing a glimpse of what they're seeing and they're willing to share some of the inside planning that's going on. And I hope we will get more info from them, and I hope they will do more interviews like this.
Yeah, my overall sense of Intel pre-Gelsinger, the last several years, it was drifting more toward a financially driven company, less technology driven. Gelsinger wants to pull it back toward the technology driven.
It seems that way. Now, the other thing I liked was that they start with Aurora, and they say that, okay, let's say that we have Aurora in 2022, and as we know, they've doubled the expected performance of that system to be over 2 exaflops in 64 bits. So you already start with 2 exaflops, and now you need on the order of 500x to get to zettaflops.
Patrick's article breaks down the different aspects, and they talk about a 16x improvement from the architectural enhancements, 3x from data movement, and they're talking about using silicon photonics or optical I/O. So there are many, many aspects to this, not just improving their bread and butter on the chip side.
Right. Overall, they take over 2 exaflops, Aurora, and they say that with architectural approaches, we can get at least 16x. Mm-hmm. Now, they could get more, but then there comes a time when to get more architecturally gets in the way of what else the system can do. And you don't want a LIMPAC-only machine, as we have seen on some of the other systems over the years.
Yeah.
And then they say with power and thermals, which I imagine means you might be able to overclock things, you get another 2x. Then you get data movement. They do 3x with data movement. And that means integration. It means faster paths, maybe with photonics, as you mentioned. But then it could also mean in-memory computing or in-situ computing, as we've called it, and others have as well, where you don't move the data at all to begin with because you got computing where the data is.
And not the other way around.
Right. And then you've got process improvement, and that gives you another 5x. And then 5 times 3 times 2 times 16 is just under 500. And then if you get the 2 exaflops there, you get to 960. But then you were conservative in some of these estimates, so you can probably be over a Zeta scale.
Now, was it Patrick who said maybe we should call this 2028, possibly, not 2027?
Well, he does mention towards the end that, let me just read his quote. One will notice that the dates are written a bit oddly with 26, 27, 28. I may have suggested adding 28 to give a bit more margin for future technology. So that's sage-wise advice by Patrick.
I would say so. Yeah. For myself and many other people, I'm kind of Missouri. Show me on this, given there are many challenges with Aurora and Ponte Vecchio GPU. I like that they're putting a stake in the ground, almost a stake in the ground internally, that this is the direction we're going in, and this is the gamble we're taking, that we're making these statements. And that'll get that whole organization to focus.
Oh, right on. The other piece, you and I were talking about it pre-show, is that it isn't just the chip. It's everything else that makes a system a system. They do talk about one API, basically 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, that matches three phases between now and when Zettascale comes. And I think that's great. But then there's also the rest of the infrastructure, vendor adoption, what are the intervening systems, what does the roadmap look like? A lot of that data isn't shared yet, and I hope that they do over time.
You raised the issue, too, of how will this all come together? Jeff McVeigh, who is now the head of the supercomputing group, has said Intel is not completely out of the supercomputing systems business. It'll be on a instance-by-instance basis. But is the overall expectation that they will produce this technology that other systems integrators will pull together, or will it come out of Intel?
Yeah, I don't know. And especially because looking 4, 5, 6 years out, especially with chiplets and tiles and lower feature sizes, when we are seeing 50 billion transistors on a die and now going to even more than that, there's a lot more of the system that's getting pulled into the CPU die. And as we were saying in our first episode of this podcast series, chips used to be like single houses, and then they became castles, and then they became condominiums and hotels. And now they're becoming entire cities where you need an interconnect on the chip. And you need, so as you do that, it's hard to tell what is the value add of a system provider if a lot of it is coming from the chip manufacturer. So how does the whole chip industry transform between now and then? We see NVIDIA becoming more and more of a systems company, latching onto the AI transition that is happening. So would Intel become more of a systems company, or will they build a coalition of system providers that together provide solutions like it is now?
Yeah, systems on a chip or city on a chip.
Yeah, really? Yes.
Right. Well, the other aspect was on the silicon photonics. Patrick's article refers to Lightbender. We've done some Googling. We're not sure what that refers to, but I wonder if their optical I/O technology and adoption of chiplets, tile architecture, could have to do with AR Labs, which has several old Intel hands in pretty senior positions there, along with the fact that Intel has invested in AR.
I was just going to mention your article on AR Labs that was some time ago. I don't think it was that far back.
It was early December.
Yeah. So they're definitely working on integration of silicon photonics with silicon electronics. Mm-hmm. And certainly the combination of electronics and photonics is what you need to lower power, increase performance, and you now can do that whole city on a chip even better than you did before. So yeah, that could very well be part of it.
Yeah. If they can harness that technology, commercialize it, it's really a big answer.
Right.
To a lot of problems. Yeah.
Now, there are other companies that are also working on silicon photonics. There are several of them that have interest or touching different parts of it.
Yeah.
So that is its own microcosm that we should track.
Absolutely, yeah.
The other thing I was going to say is that these big systems are for big problems. It goes back to the old analogy that if you want to mow your lawn, it might take you an hour. If you have two people, it takes half an hour. If you have four people, it takes less. But if you have 2,000 people, it doesn't even fit on the lawn
right.
anymore.
Overkill.
Right. Yeah. Right. So if you're going to have 1,000 people mowing a lawn, it better be bigger than a football field. Mm. So the size of the problem needs to grow to allow this level of parallelism.
Yeah.
And if you have that big a problem, which these really are, if you look at the matrix size of Limpac, they're becoming huge, then data storage, data movement, memory bandwidth, memory hierarchy, all of those become really important. And data movement, we know, is the most expensive part of computing. So this dovetails back with the whole silicon photonics and how important that can be once it becomes real.
It's interesting to think about you raising the issue. Do we have problems big enough for zettascale computing?
Actually, many of the problems in science are just simply insatiable. Mm. And we could make them as big as you want, number one. Number two, the part of the problem that grows faster is the part that's going to take over. Mm-hmm. And there are several algorithms and kernels in science that are order n cubed, then n to the 4, n to the 6, etc. And sometimes you just have to stop and approximate because you don't want to go higher because you can't solve it. So I think we're pretty well set in terms of finding problems that are very important and human scale, as I like to say, and still giant. Mm-hmm. It's also true that when the problem gets that big, it naturally lends itself to parallelism. And that's why you could build these giant clusters to run things. But the data sets that come with them become really large as well, is my point. And the data movement becomes really important.
Really critical to controlling this monster. Well, maybe at some point we'll talk about what comes after zettascale. I mean, exascale is such a major accomplishment, a major milestone. So it's amazing.
Given that we still don't have quite exascale done, I think zeta is probably as far as we want to stretch this rubber band.
Good point. Well, thank you, Shaheen. Great to be with you again.
Likewise. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
That's it for this episode of the At HPC podcast. Every episode is featured on InsideHPC.com and posted on OrionX.net. Use the comments section or tweet us with any questions or to propose topics of discussion. If you like the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The At HPC podcast is a production of OrionX in association with Inside HPC. Thank you for listening.